Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
That shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Welcome to The Savage Nation. I think as we enter the most critical phase of this election, and the tipping point regarding the survival of this great nation, and I think you have followed the show long enough to know exactly which side I'm on, and exactly which side I'm not on. You understand what I'm doing right now. I am going to the Rock of Ages. And maybe each day I will begin with a little quote from the Rock of Ages, a one-liner without even telling you where it comes from. And then we'll do the show, because whether it's connected or not directly to the show is irrelevant. The show will be gone and forgotten, but the Rock of Ages will be with us. Now, what is the Rock of Ages? Does anyone even remember what that means? And why was it called the Rock of Ages? And why do so many non-sophisticated, dumb people still believe in the Rock of Ages? The non-fashionable people. Those who are not in Hollywood. Those who don't go to the red carpet. How come they still believe in the Rock of Ages? What do they find in it? Why am I talking about it? Well, let me ask you something. What are the 10 worst things that Obama has done? I have a list of them for you, by the way. And what are the 10 worst things that you fear Hillary will do? See, I boiled it all down for you in plain English. I don't like him. I don't like it. Isn't that? What are the 10 worst things Obama has done? I'll give them to you as the show emerges. Yes, I'll read from Scorched Earth, as you could expect. It is my book. And as you know, when we in talk radio do our books, we talk about them for a couple of weeks, and then we forget about them. Once in a while, we refer to them. That's the way it is. Well, right now, I'm in a fever pitch of referring to Scorched Earth. And yes, I do want you to keep it number one in politics on Amazon. Yeah, that's where it is. It's number one in politics on Amazon, even though I've not been invited on any television show. I've not been on Matt Lauer's show. And without Matt Lauer, without any of the other good people in the media, it's the audience that matters. And I talk about the 10 worst things Obama has done and the 10 worst things Hillary will do. And while we're talking about that, here are some other topics that I'm going to talk about. Do people in the media and talk radio think you're dumb? Yes, they do. If you will notice, articles came out after the interview last night, the military interview with Trump and whatever her name is, I forget it, the coffer. We can call her the Smith Brothers candidate. And the fact of the matter is, they said, you people, you dumb people, you little small dumb people who don't live in New York City or West Hollywood specifically. Those of you who know what I'm referring to know exactly what I'm referring to. I mean, if you're south of Santa Monica Boulevard, you don't exist. It's the same thing as being living west of the Hudson River. There used to be an old New Yorker cartoon that was very famous of New York, and then there was west of the Hudson. It was flyover country. Well, for those people who live in Hollywood, anyone on the other side of Santa Monica Boulevard doesn't exist. That is, unless you get down to the ocean area, then, of course, it's a whole different strata. But let's put aside the neighborhoods and the zip codes for a minute. The issue is that we had people criticizing Lauer because he didn't criticize Trump enough. And they said that you dumb idiots out there get all of your information from guys like Lauer. You get your snippets of news only from the Lauers and the liars and the lice of the world. Now, that may be true for TV watchers, and that's what I wanted to talk about a little bit, which is the difference between TV viewers and radio listeners. They're not the same. I think that's lost on geniuses at New York Magazine. I think that's lost on most geniuses in the pseudo-literary establishment, that not all media is identical. People who watch TV for the news are not the same as those who tune into talk radio to hear ideas and maybe call a show or listen to others talking about those ideas. They're not the same as those who read the popular websites for their news headlines every day, which is about most intelligent people in the world, from the highest income level to the lowest income level. And I have to go back to that because I coined a phrase the other day, and some of you got it, and some of you are challenging me on it, which is great. That's the object of ideas. Remember what I said the other day? I want to get it exactly right. It was about poverty and affluence. I said poverty is not a vice, and affluence is not a virtue. It set off a shockwave. Now everyone in the media is trying to make believe that they're on the side of the people who are not doing well, because I said that, which is good to be the leader of a dog pack, because as a famous lawyer in San Francisco once wrote, I remember walking past Melvin Belli's office when I first moved to San Francisco. You see, he was a big, big, big-time lawyer. Man, was he on the top of the heap. And Belli had an office down around a certain area of the city where you could walk by his office and look in, and he would sit in his big chair. He had his Rolls Royce outside. And he had a huge sign in his office that said, when you are the lead dog in the dog pack, all the other dogs look at your behind. But the poster said it in a more flowery manner than I just said it. So what I'm saying is, poverty is not a vice and affluence is not a virtue. And what do I mean by that? I mean that not everyone who has no money is stupid, and not everyone who has a lot of money is smart. But I also said that virtually everyone of intelligence looks at 4 or 5 websites every day for the news. They don't really watch TV for the news. So Matt Lauer and the others who are referred to as the source of the snippets that give us the reality are not the reality that you have, those of you who listen to the Savage Nation and other talk shows. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about the difference between passive viewing versus active listening. Are radio listeners as dumb as most people think? You see, New York Magazine's Jonathan Chait wrote an article about the more snotty nonsense by chicks town hall with Hillary and Donald Trump last night, and he reached a conclusion about you. He says, quote, the average undecided voter is getting snippets of news from television personalities like Lauer, who are failing to convey the fact that the election pits a normal politician with normal political failings against an ignorant, bigoted, pathologically dishonest authoritarian. Wow. Does this man have a shrink or what? I would love to sit into one day, if I could, I'd like to sit into Jonathan Chait's psychiatrist's office and listen to Jonathan Chait express his fears and doubts about himself, which I'm sure he does on a regular basis to a psychiatrist somewhere. For him to project such a statement upon Hillary Clinton and upon Donald Trump says more about Jonathan Chait and the New York literary establishment, if you want to call him that. The people who make very little money are jealous of those who have nicer shoes, nicer wives, better cars, bigger buildings, etc. And he goes on, he says, well, look, the fact is he's biased. But he does make somewhat of an interesting observation that you'll only see a small bit of what's going on TV news, and you base your decisions on that. In other words, if you're just a TV watcher, you're too stupid to figure things out on your own, and you have to rely on whatever is fed to you on TV by Matt Lauer and the others. And so increasingly people of all ages are turning to online digital sources of media, radio, for news. And I got to remind you right here and then, I don't care what you hear, I don't care what you say, data doesn't lie. My show is the number one streaming radio talk show in America. That means what I just said. According to TalkStream Live, this show has a 25% share of all of those who listen to talk radio on a device. The great Rush Limbaugh has a 13.7% share, according to that data. That may not be the only data source for this, but it's the one I have. If you got a better one, let me know what it is. I'm willing to listen. So 1 out of 4 people who are listening to talk radio are listening to me around the world. Why is that? Well, they want to get some information, and they also want to hear from the smart callers that I get. And then they want to derive their own opinions based upon it. As I said to you, when I grew up as a little boy in New York, yeah, my father was an immigrant, told you the story a million times, I'll tell it to you another million times till you finally hear it. I am the only talk show host in America with a major show who is an immigrant's son. I have one world, one foot in the old world and one foot in the new world. It gives me a huge advantage in understanding the world that we live in. America is not the same as it was that any of us grew up in, and it never will be, and it never has been. Can you name one generation for whom America was the same when they were in their 50s that it was when they were born? I don't know. What, 50 years is a very long time. It's a half a century. All countries change. America is no different. We're not objecting to change, are we? We're objecting to the change that has occurred, aren't we? We don't mind change, but we want change in a positive direction. None of us wanted to see this country become more like Portugal than it has become. We don't want to become a failed empire, which it has become. And so, my friends, as I say to you, we have to go back to the primary thought so we don't lose it. What is the primary thought? What are the 10 worst things Obama has done? And what are the 10 worst things you fear Hillary will do? That's what it boils down to. You're different. You have made a choice to actively listen to radio, which provides you with news and strong opinions. You know what you're getting from this host. That's why you're listening. I don't pretend to be a journalist. I don't pretend to be objective. I try to bring my objectivity to my opinions. But I'm not pretending what I'm giving you is an objective statement. Do you understand the difference? That's a subtlety I just expressed to you. And I'm sure most of you can understand that. I'm giving you what I think is an objective view, but I'm not saying it is an objective view for you. That's all. It's two different things. You're not stuck in your own bubble. You have many different points of view that you refer to. Now, psychologists describe active listening as being, quote, all about building rapport, understanding, and trust. And so an active listener is a better listener because you actually hear what the other person is saying, not just what you think they are saying or what you want to hear as a TV viewer would. And that's why talk radio is so important to the national conversation. You are the actively engaged person who has the ability to reach the unengaged, the apathetic, the people who will actually vote for someone like a Hillary Clinton because their interest in what's important is only passive. They don't know what's really going on. They don't know how evil she is. They don't know about the corruption in the foundation. They don't know about the damage she has done to the Middle East or to the world. They don't know the damage that she would continue to do to this nation. But you do. And so, my friends, as I go back to the beginning, I'll say again, that's the lead topic. Now, if you think the television viewers are ignoramuses, by and large, I mean, when I say television, I mean those who tune into TV for news. I watch a lot of TV. I never watch television news. The only television news I ever watch, I have to tell you, this is the MS. I'll put my hand back on the Bible. I no longer watch the network news. I haven't for 15 years or more. I used to watch Fox News. I swear to God, I don't tune it in anymore. It's not a boycott. I just don't watch them. Some of them are brilliant and great. I don't watch them. I don't watch MSNBC. They're not even worth a laugh line anymore. They become so predictable, there's no point in watching. My Rachel Maddow, I'm going to say 100 times. What's the point of saying it? I watch them. What's the point? I watch RT, which is Russian news, once in a while because they have a variety of talk shows, some of which are very, very pro-Russian. Some are very anti-Russian, by the way. But the intellectual dialogue on RT is pretty amazing. I occasionally watch NHK news out of Japan. And that's about it. I don't even listen to the BBC. It's ridiculous. I may as well go to a seminar at Berkeley on political science if I wanted to listen to the BBC. It's the same exact idiocy. You know, Islam's not related to terrorism. All immigrants come to... Well, you get the picture. I don't need to do it. Poverty is not a vice and affluence is not a virtue. Now, many of you didn't understand that one. You thought I was saying that if you had money, was something wrong with you. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying with my statement, poverty is not a vice and affluence is not a virtue, is quite clear. Many of us have equated becoming successful or wealthy with being virtuous. Now, while it takes virtue to become wealthy and successful, there's no question about it. I mean, some do it as crooks, but they're the minority, I think. There is no question in my mind that there are an awful lot of impoverished people who are pretty damn smart and good people. And I don't want you lumping in poor people with the rioters, the communists, and the others. They're not representative of those people who are living on the edge. Do you understand the difference? Now, we're going to talk about that and Gary Johnson, who doesn't know what Aleppo is. Who is Gary Johnson? He is the third-party candidate put up by Hillary Clinton to steal votes from Trump. That's exactly why he's run. He is not a libertarian. He is a part and parcel of the Democrat machine, meant to steal 4 or 5 points from Trump. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. It is the Savage Nation. And I guess one of the things we're talking about is passive viewing versus active listening. Are talk radio listeners as dumb as most people in the media think that they are? And, of course, the answer is absolutely not. They dismiss me. They dismiss you as non-existent. We are the non-entities of the intellectual world when, in fact, the opposite is true. It's those who watch the Matt Lauers and the MSNBCs that are actually the dummies. They're the dummies. They're the ones who are spoon-fed. They don't think. The opposite is true. Stan on WGOW out of Tennessee. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, I just want to congratulate you on that wonderful talk you just gave on communication. You're exactly right. I've stopped watching Fox News. I've stopped watching MSNBC, CNN. They're all so predictable. But you bring a new idea every day. But today's idea is excellent. If people will listen to what you have to say, there is a new idea for this country every day.
God bless you, man. I don't know what else to say. I told you, I don't know what it is. Here I am, an ordinary Yankee from New York City, lived on the West Coast most of my adult life, and somehow I resonate with Southern males. How is that possible? Why is that happening? Could it be that there's something in the wind that those at New York Magazine cannot scent because their noses are clogged from sinusitis?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282-SAVAGE.
It is the Savage Nation. Are we in for an October surprise? You betcha. You betcha. If Trump wins, you'll see quite an October surprise in November. But there'll be an October surprise before the November surprise when Jay Johnson, the man who permitted Muslim terrorists to bomb us in many cities, taking over the elections in order to save us from ourselves. And then we'll know we're living in Paraguay. My friends, I am telling you, this gang is so out of control with their arrogance. And, of course, it's because men like Matt Lauer have never reined them in. Never, ever reined them in that one word. Against that bum, that peripatetic bum. Is he still in Laos? I wish he'd only stay there. He is very comfortable around people who wear outfits and wear things on their head. He thinks somehow they're superior to everybody else. That's because he grew up in Indonesia. Yeah, the rice table. Remember the rice table, the Indonesian rice table? Well, in the beginning of the show, I talked about the difference between active listening and passive listening and talk radio versus all other forms of media. And I asked you, what are the 10 worst things Obama has done that Matt Lauer has not mentioned? And what are the 10 worst things you're afraid Hillary will do? I can give you a few of them. He flooded America with illegal immigrants and Muslims, many of whom are carrying illnesses and or seeds of terrorism. Write it down, Matt. He stirred a race war which has led to a genocidal war against police. Write it down. See if I'm wrong. He has sent the U.S. Navy to fight for Syrian al-Qaeda. He armed ISIS and allowed them to systematically exterminate Christians throughout the Middle East. Write it down. He betrayed Israel. Write it down. He gave Iran hundreds of billions of dollars and access to nuclear weapons. Write it down. He removed our nuclear missile shield in Poland at the behest of Russia. He has gutted our military and betrayed our veterans. He's increased our national debt to $20 trillion. Let's say those of you who are listening don't understand or care about anything I mentioned, but you're an economic, what used to call themselves what? A fiscal conservative. That used to be popular 20 years ago. Let's say you're only a fiscal conservative. Then how can you not understand what this man has done? This goofball in the White House never held a job in his life. This goofball never produced a service or a product that anyone ever bought. This goofball, put in power by the most evil man on the planet, in my opinion, George Soros, this goofball thinks that good government means printing money. Oh, there are other things he's done that Matt Lauer hasn't mentioned, by the way. It's all in. It's all in. Scorched earth. It's number one in politics on Amazon. If you want to get that amazing, a lot of people are jumping on that free offer. You get the 2011 interview with me and Trump where you see, and why do I want you to have that? Because everyone's saying Trump's not specific. He just bumbles. He doesn't say anything. In his 2011 interview, you'll see how specific Donald Trump is on the issues, despite the media lies. I had him on the show. Even then, he was specific. You can have it for free by pre-ordering Scorched Earth at Amazon.com or your favorite store. You email the receipt, scorchedearthbook@gmail.com. You get the bonus MP3 free of charge. Now, having said that, here's something free of charge for free, with ordering nothing except listening to this great show. It's funny that my introduction was about the difference between TV and radio listeners. Now, what do you think about what I'm about to say to you? Here it is. When I watch movies and TV shows from the 1950s, I see an America that was bold, daring, macho, unafraid, and proud of itself. When I look at America today, I see something else. This is because a small band of radical, fanatical leftists have seized every aspect of the media and every avenue of government imaginable. They're ashamed of the very idea of American exceptionalism. They are not the majority, and they don't speak for the people. They are a group of political deviants. They are political deviants in a statistical sense, a political sense, and a social sense. This small band of deviants in government and in the media has wrecked the United States of America, turned us into a nation of near slaves. These craven apologists have turned the grandchildren of the greatest generation into jellyfish, less brave than the average Frenchman. Oh, it's easy to blame the 1960s, flower power, and the radicals that spawned them, nihilistic forces such as the Black Panthers and the Weather Underground. It takes a village of people to destroy a child, and they need to be called out by name. Yet Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are just symptoms of a much bigger disease. What we're living through right now is part of the disease the Cultural Revolution started around the time Barry Soetero was born. This Cultural Revolution was begun by Allen Ginsberg, Timothy Leary, and Bella Abzug. That was a group that you could never find in hell itself to do more damage to a nation. At least Benedict Arnold was a war hero before he turned traitor. Those people were born agitators. They were all born silk-smooth salespeople of destruction. One pushed rampant sex with animals. Another one pushed rampant drug use, mainly LSD. The other one, God knows what she pushed, a demented mashup of feminism and socialism. There was also a lawyer named William Kunstler. He leapt to the defense of anyone who burned, spit on, or defaced something clean and good. I'll stop right there. Pages 57 and 58 of the book, You're Never Going to Put Down Scorched Earth. It reads like a novel. Why do you have to have it? You don't have to have it, but you will have it, because you need a record of what is going on and what will happen and will what continue to be going on unless it is stopped. Now listen to the rest of this paragraph. Not if Hillary becomes president, but even if Donald Trump becomes president. Ah, there's the rub. See, many of you are leery of Donald Trump. You say he's a liberal, he's not of this, he's not of that. He was for the war before he was against the war. He's for taxes and against the taxes. He's for immigrants and he's against it. And so you have a correct view of this man's background. There's no question about it. And when he became a politician, he rode the wave of populism, rode the wave of the conservative values I expressed on the show for 22 years, namely borders, language, and culture. That's a good thing. People can change. People do change. Do you understand that? I told you that. Not everyone is born what they are as an adult, and not every adult stays with what they were 2-3 years ago. They change if they see which way the wind is blowing and they're ambitious on one end, or if they actually care about the country on the other hand. So it's our job now to make sure that the national dialogue stays focused on borders, language, and culture, and the national debt, of course. And it will be our job, even if Donald Trump should pull off this upset victory, because that's when our work is going to begin. Do you understand what I'm saying to you now? Unless, listen, let's say Trump wins, and all of a sudden the flags go up, and we all celebrate, and we set off fireworks, and I hold a huge rally somewhere. Well, my friends, that's when the work's going to begin. Because that's when we're going to have to talk to all the Kellyannes and Steves, and all the others who have lined up behind Donald Trump late in the game. And we're going to have to say, listen, guys, congratulations, but we were here first. And we're going to be as difficult with you as we would have been with Hillary. We're not going to let you go to the left. We're not going to let you say, well, now that we've won, we can do whatever we want. You're not going to get away with it. Because we will be the thorn in your side that we were to Hillary's side. That is why I wrote Scorched Earth. Because I need the record. We need the record of what Obama has done, what Hillary will do, and what we do not want Donald Trump to do. And what we do want Donald Trump to do. You get that? And there's one other thing I haven't said yet, but I may as well, because we're on the cusp or the verge of the book's launch on Tuesday, and that's all I'm thinking about. I'm getting up 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. It's all I think about. And I made a promise to you. See if I keep it. See if I keep it. I told you I will not write another major political book again. I won't do it. It's too stressful. Once this election is over, God, I never want to hear the word election again as long as I live. I don't want to hear Trump and Clinton. I don't want to dream about it. I can't hear the words anymore. I can't take it. My ankles are starting to hurt. My left ankle has become discolored. Every time I hear the word Trump, my left ankle turns dark. When I hear the word Hillary Clinton, my right ankle turns dark from a lack of blood flow. I can't take it anymore. I can just imagine what you're going through. It's my last political book. You want to add it to your library, right? Now, having said that, I actually know what I'm going to do next year if I'm still alive. And that's up to God, not up to me. I don't know. Each day to me is a miracle. It's been a miracle that I'm here anyway to tell you that. I mean, I'm going to not go into that again. I've had a very, very dark view of my future for the last many decades. I never thought I'd be 30, let alone what the age I am now. When I was 20, I thought I wouldn't make 30. When I was 30, I didn't think I'd make 40. When I was 40, I didn't think I'd make 50. And so forth and so on, because it isn't really up to me. It is and it isn't. I mean, we are sort of in control of our destiny, and we're also sort of like a leaf going down a stream. We are sort of both. We do have some self-will, and then we have some things we can't control. I love people who think that they have total self-will over their future, guys like these rappers who become designers, the Kanye Wests and those foolish singers who think that they're God Almighty. The arrogance is overwhelming. Eventually life will catch up with them, if it hasn't already. And I think about all of the men, all of these millions of men who died in war. I can't believe it sometimes. It overwhelms me. If I watch footage of World War I in particular, and I see battles in which 65,000 people were killed, and then I see a million Englishmen died, a million Germans died, a million Frenchmen died, in a few battles, and hundreds of thousands of Americans were sent in for the slaughter for no reason whatsoever in World War I. I actually look at the faces of the men on the front. I look at what they lived through, and I ask myself, well, I don't care how strong the man's will was. I don't care if he was as strong as a bear. He got wiped out by that hail of machine gun bullets. He got gassed to death by the mustard gas. He got strafed by the plane. He got bombed by the bomb. It didn't matter who he was. So tell me about self-will. Tell me about arrogance. And tell me about self-worth and self-belief. There's only so far it can take us. My friends, there are some circumstances that we cannot control. And once you're in them, it's out of control. It's not in your hands anymore. It is pure chance. Then you might become the one man who survives as the ship goes down. Right? We read about those people. The survivor of the ships that went down. They're astounding stories. The survivors of the horrors of Auschwitz and the other death camps. Astounding stories. The men whose families were machine gunned in a pit by the Nazis. The men, the women, the children, the cries, the screams, the groans. And they were left for dead in the pit of the dead. And then when the Nazi bastards left, they crawled out amongst the dead. And they crawled into the forests of Poland. And then they lived through the war to tell the story. I mean, these are stories that are astonishing to hear. And they're true, obviously, but They're not the norm, are they? So what am I telling you? I don't know. Figure out what I'm telling you. Take it in any way you want. We have self-will, and then we don't have self-will. We have control over our lives, then we don't have control over our lives. There are forces that we cannot control. Like, I'll give you another example. Let's say one of these Muslim terrorists, oh, shall I say Islamo-fascists, to be more politically astute. Let's say one of the refugees that Obama's bringing in amongst the 10,000 that we know of, never mind those that were sneaking in from Mexico, brings in a canister of bubonic plague. And he pays off the coyotes in Mexico to smuggle him in from Syria. And they don't care. What do they care if they kill a million people? It means nothing to them. And he brings in a canister of bubonic plague. And he releases it in San Diego. Or Los Angeles. Or New York. Or Chicago. It wouldn't matter whether you're the strongest man in the gymnasium. It would not matter. Because you see, little microbes have a way of attacking the biggest of men. That, my friends, is the name of the whole story. So what do you do in a situation like that? Do you say, I'm powerless to do anything, so I do nothing? No, this is the beauty of America. We have a little power. That little power is called a vote. See, there are countries where these forces of evil are so great and the people have absolutely no recourse. They have no First Amendment. They don't even have it in England, by the way. You know they have no First Amendment in England? You didn't know that. The thing that Hillary wants to take away from us, the First Amendment, oh, I don't mean directly, and I don't mean all of us. Matt Lauer would still have the First Amendment. Rachel Maddow would have the First Amendment. All of her little stooges at the Alphabet channels would have their First Amendment, but I wouldn't. I can guarantee you I wouldn't. And so we would devolve from a nation with a tiny bit of self-will to one of no will whatsoever. You understand what I'm saying and what's at stake? You get the whole monologue, dialogue? Do you get the whole egg? I hope so.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Trump has made Islam and Muslims part of his campaign. And basically, the jihadists see this as a great gift. They are saying, oh, please, Allah, make Trump president of America. Mm-hmm. So I'm not interested in giving aid and comfort to their evil ambitions.
Then
I want to defeat
smuggle
them.
Weapons to them
I
in
want
Syria.
To end their reign of terror.
Why haven't you?
I don't
you?
Want them to feel as though they can be getting more recruits because of our politics.
So Clinton gave this interview to Aretz Shiva in Israel, saying, oh, please, Allah, make Trump president of America. How does she know that? Did she get an email from them on an unsecured server? I mean, did she get an email from them saying, oh, please, Allah, make Trump president of America? I don't know. I know that her vice presidential choice, Tim Kaine, looks like Freddy Krueger from Nightmare on Elm Street, and I wouldn't characterize her in the same manner because I can't quite yet figure out who she reminds me of in the filmic world. I'm not quite sure yet. I don't think there's anyone to match her. As we used to say in botany, she's a monotypic species. She actually may be a monotypic family of the female variety. Or does she fall into the category of Imelda Marcos combined with Avita Peron? I don't know. All I know is this. The FEC commissioner has warned that the Democrats are gunning for the First Amendment, namely the conservative media. Exactly what I told you in my long monologue when I was telling you about Scorched Earth and the warning of why you need the book to remember where we are and where we're going to go. There it is. FEC warning us that they're trying to take away our First Amendment, exactly as I said.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
There's still too many children in poverty in the United States. Now, they're not suffering extreme poverty of the sort that you see in parts of, you know, India or, you know, China or Laos or Cambodia. But we have children who are very poor. And so I would say that the way forward for us involves addressing those pockets of poverty and starting with kids. And, you know, we have enough wealth to do it. The question is whether we have the political will to make the investments in these communities, many of which are in inner cities. Oftentimes, they are poor African-American or Latino.
Latino,
still held back historically by discrimination. It's harder to get the society as a whole to invest in these kids. If we're going to be successful, we're going to have to do it. The United States, by the year 2050, which is only 35 years from now, will no longer be a majority white country.
Wow, won't that be great? No longer a majority white country. He can't wait for that day. It's going to be so much better. We'll be much more like Laos or Cambodia or Thailand or India even. And maybe there'll be even more poverty. But he doesn't understand that because he's just he is what he is. What's the point of characterizing him in any way that would make any sense to the average television watcher? The charge of the Light Brigade. You ever hear the phrase, ours is not the reason why? Ours is just to do and die. Have you ever heard that phrase? Raise your hand if you heard that. Theirs not to reason why, theirs but to do and die. Raise your hand if you know where it came from. Came from Tennyson's great poem, The Charge of the Light Brigade, Alfred Lord Tennyson, something no longer taught in the racist colleges of America because he was a white male and a genius. Now they would teach a rap song instead by someone who speaks 50 words of English and makes 50 mil a year. You know, I speak 50 word of English, I make 50 mil a year, you know. You know the type that's invited to the White House. Half a league, half a league, half a league onward, all in the valley of death, rode the 600. Forward the Light Brigade, charge for the guns, he said. Into the valley of death, rode the 600. Forward the Light Brigade, was there a man dismayed? Not though the soldier knew, someone had blundered. Theirs not to make reply, theirs not to reason why, theirs but to do and die. Into the valley of death rode the 600. Cannon to the right of them, cannon to the left of them, cannon in front of them, volleyed and thundered, stormed out with shot and shell. Boldly they rode and well into the jaws of death, into the mouth of hell, rode the 600. Flashed all their sabers bare, flashed as they turned in air, sabering the gunners there, charging an army while all the world wondered, plunged in a battery smoke. Right through the line they broke, Cossack and Russian reeled from the saber stroke, shattered and sundered. Then they rode back, but not the 600. Cannon to the right of them, cannon to the left of them, cannon behind them, volleyed and thundered, stormed out with shot and shell, while horse and hero fell. That they had fought so well, came through the jaws of death back from the mouth of hell, all that was left of them, left of 600. When can their glory fade? Oh, the wild charge they made. All the world wondered, honor the charge they made, honor the Light Brigade, noble 600. And yet we have a vicious anti-white president who celebrates the day that whites will no longer be the majority. And you think that there's not a war going on in this country against you? Oh, I address you directly, because I speak to you. There is a war against you. There is a genocidal cultural war going on in this nation on a daily basis. We read today that another college has created segregated housing just for blacks. I couldn't believe my eyes. How is this possible that the insanity is so prevalent in this country that after all the years of the civil rights movement, all the years of struggle for integration, that the African-American leaders are so insane that they now want segregated housing for black people? How is that possible? Can you explain that to me? How does that make sense to me? I don't understand it. Another university offers black students separate housing complex, so they want segregation on the campuses? Some are calling it segregation a step backwards, while others say it's a boost for the black student population. At Cal State Los Angeles, a new housing program opens up dorms for black students who want to be separated from the rest of the campus. Black-only housing concerns. Oh, boy. My friends, do you understand what affirmative action has done to the universities? Do you understand that by bringing in people who cannot think, who have never, ever qualified to be in a university, but they were brought in strictly for quotas, that you have now degraded the entire university system? Do you understand how that works? You know, I went to a city college. I was a poor kid. I couldn't afford to go to anything else. I went to Queens College at the City University of New York. It was actually a very fine school with a great curriculum. And as I said to you, in those days, the city colleges of New York all based their curricula on the 100 great books that were used at the University of Chicago. That was the curriculum. I didn't know it at the time. As a high school kid, I didn't know what I was reading. But I read the 100 great books. It was built around 100 great books. Now, it was still a pretty darn hard school, Queens College, when I went. It was tough. You had to really fight to get a good grade. Very competitive. Well, years later, after I graduated, it became an open admissions university. That means they let anyone in. Didn't matter what your high school grades were. Have you heard what happened to the colleges in New York as a result of open admissions? They didn't go up in intellectual or academic values. They went down. The students were not capable of keeping up with the academic demands. So the academic demands were lowered for them. Now, how did that work out? Well, it's the same way when you lower the qualifications to become a cop or to become a fireman. What you wind up with is the fire department in San Francisco, where the women are now in charge of the fire department. They never fight the fires. They sit in the back three blocks away in white uniforms, making $500,000 a year running the fire department. But it's still the schlub, the man running up the ladder to rescue someone from a fire. That's if there ever is a fire in San Francisco. So now we have black-only housing because they don't feel comfortable around white people. And the fans of racism are being flamed by who? By Obama, who just said he's celebrating the day that whites are a minority in this country, as though that will eliminate poverty. I guess the schmuck doesn't know that if whites are pushed out of everything, you'll have more poverty, not less poverty. I guess he didn't learn that wherever he went. I don't even know what school he went to, because we've never seen his grades. We have no idea if he even graduated. We have no idea what he did while he was in college. But that's water under the bridge. See, there was no great journalist at the time like Matt Lauer to look into his background. I mean, if we had had Matt Lauer at that time, I think we did, looking into his background, we may have found out that we don't even know who he is, who he associated with, and what a danger he would be to America. Instead, we hear about Clinton's private email server, which I can care less about. She should be in jail. If an ordinary civilian working for the government did what she did, they'd be arrested. There wouldn't even be a question. There'd be no case. Open and shut. Bingo. You're in jail. Ask any contract. Don't call the show. I know it's a fact. You're given security clearance. You violate. You go to prison. Not her, though. She's above the law. So, okay, there it is. That's all. That's the story. That's the opening. That's the Savage Nation. And I haven't even begun the hour, did I? No, my friends, it's time for you to talk a little bit. Then I have some great stuff. Can you believe what Obama said? I really have to go back to that. Wait a minute. Even I was offended by it, and I built up a big shell around me. I want you to play clip 16 again to listen to the most racist, the most racially insensitive remark ever made in the history of the presidency in clip 16. This is what he's saying. Wait, while he's overseas in the hellhole of Laos, he puts down the United States of America and blames white people for everything evil in this country. Listen to 16.
Oftentimes, they are poor African-American or Latino, who are still held back historically by discrimination.
You liar, you.
And sometimes
you
it's
liar.
Harder to get the society as a whole to invest in these kids.
Shut up.
If we're going to be successful, we're going to have to do it. The United States, by the year 2050, which is only 35 years from now, will no longer be a majority white country.
And then what will happen? How did that fit with what he said before? Do you understand the insanity of Barack Obama, his racial insanity? This racist president of ours celebrating this 35 years in advance as though it's a great thing that will happen? And what will happen when it's no longer a majority white country, Barry? Tell me what will happen. Well, let's look back on your own background, you lying... Oh, I almost said a dirty word. I caught it, though. He was on the button. Robert's finger moved. Let's see. He had a white mother who ditched him. He had a father from Africa who ditched him. Then the white mother married an Indonesian Muslim after she ditched him. And this man hates white people when it was his white grandparents who raised him after his white mother ran away from him and ditched him. And he hates white people? Why does he hate white people? Why does Obama hate white people so much when it was the white grandparents who rescued him from his loose-living mother and his, frankly, absentee father? Why does he hate the white grandparents so much? And why we're asking that question is one that's bothered me for 8 years now. I'm afraid to even ask it. I'm terrified of a Breitbart. Does anyone remember what I'm about to say to you? I feel a lump in my throat when I'm about to ask this. Shortly before Barack Obama was anointed president, he went to visit his dying grandmother. Am I correct? She was lying in a hospice or such in Honolulu. Do you remember what happened? Does anyone remember what happened? Oh, no, you don't remember that. You don't remember RFK. You don't remember the plane crash off the coast in the Long Island Sound by the man who would have been in Hillary's Senate seat. You forgot that as well. Have you forgotten the Supreme Court justice who died under suspicious circumstances in a seedy border hotel near Mexico, and there was no autopsy when they give even a bum who falls in the street an autopsy by law? Oh, yeah. If a bum is found dead in an SRO somewhere in America, it's a requirement that an autopsy be given. No, you have no choice. But a Supreme Court justice is found dead with a pillow over his head and there's no autopsy. That's because Matt Lauer wasn't in the news business at the time. That's a little joke. That's an inside joke. That's because we didn't have crack journalists like Matt Lauer at the time. But now that we have him really digging into Hillary, oh, man, the whole world has changed. Yeah, it's a laughing thing. Remember the grandmother, though, what happened? He visited her. Poor woman was on her deathbed, and I think he had been elected or was about to be elected. He visited Grandma in Honolulu. And they left him alone in the room with her, and the next thing you know, boom, finito, gone. What was she about to say? Oh, that's stupid. That's something you reserve for a novel. I have to call someone up I know who writes really great mystery novels and ask him what he thinks happened in that room those 8 years ago in Honolulu, as well as ask him about the attempted assassination attempt on Putin, whether he thinks it was an assassination attempt. Now, of course, I'm no Matt Lauer. I mean, I don't have his intellect. I don't have the intellect, let's say, of anyone on television. I'm struggling the best I can to think as well as they do. But there was, it looked to me like an attempted hit on Putin the other day in Russia. There was like six lanes in each direction. Watch it on the CCTV footage. And there's Putin's bulletproof BMW speeding along one of the lanes, and out of nowhere, from the other side, with no divider, comes a car, a Mercedes, and wraps into him, kills his driver of 40 years, and Putin wasn't in the car. So I asked myself, wait a minute, could this have been an attempted assassination hit by who? Who would try to knock him off? Well, let's see, the day before, the papers reported a death stare between him and Goofball. Him and Goofball stared at each other, gave each other, they set a death stare, didn't they? So if I were writing a cheap novel, I'd say, put one, two, three, operative, but then you have to say, wait a minute, who was in the car that almost died, that's hanging by a thread in the Moscow hospital, in the car that hit the Putin car? So they said, I don't know who it is. Could they have gotten, see, if I were writing a novel on this, it's simple. The plot's really simple. I just got a pain in my neck. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Now, many of you know what Aleppo is, and you know it's not a fish sandwich in a restaurant like a Tulepo, catfish, Aleppo. But there's a man running for the presidency named Gary Johnson. I didn't really know much about him. I heard he's a governor of New Mexico. You know, okay, fine. It's a big job. So he's on TV last night, and Mike Barnicle, who's a fine journalist, asked him what Aleppo is. You can't believe this. Listen to clip five.
What would you do if you were elected about Aleppo?
About
Aleppo.
And what is Aleppo?
You're kidding.
No.
Aleppo is in Syria. It's the it's the epicenter of the refugee crisis.
Okay, got it. Got it.
Oh, God, save us from the political class. What is Aleppo? It's a slur on people with leprosy? No. It's like 20 questions. It's a fish dish in a fish restaurant? No, Buzz. No, sir. It's actually the name of a city. It is the epicenter of the mess in the Middle East. So there you go. That's the Libertarian candidate, Gary Johnson. All right. I'm not going to knock Libertarians. I am knocking Gary Johnson. I would say he sort of knocked himself out of the box. So he basically is going to pull 3-4 points from Trump. Jill Stein, I don't really know who she is. She's a Green Party psycho. She's going to pull 3-4 points, maybe two, from Hillary's side. But it's kind of the wild cards. They get a good book deal out of it. That's about a couple, like about a year's worth of lectures. Then they're forgotten. Then they try for a talk radio show. They start with a local show and no one listens because it's a little different, whatever, and that's the end of them. So he doesn't know who Aleppo is. But you know, the funny thing is, like, after Gary Johnson said, what is Aleppo, and he was reminded where it is, oh, he actually had the correct answer. He said the only way to deal with Syria is to join hands with Russia to bring a diplomatic end to it all. That's smart. But then he said, but when we've aligned ourselves with, when we've supported the opposition, the Free Syrian Army, which is coupled with the Islamists, then the fact is that we're supporting the Kurds, he said it's a mess. So he kind of got it in pieces, right? But he's not qualified. He's worse than Ralph Nader, man. Where is Ralph Nader when we don't need him? Yeah, I came to them very late in life, like a lot of things. I didn't know Motley Crue till I was older. When my kid was young, he had Motley Crue in his drawer. When he went to college, I found it. I broke it and threw it out. What did I know? Years later, I used it as bumper music. Who knew? See, I see people can change. So Journey, this song, is an important one to me because I remember when I was between syndicators, before I joined Cumulus, Westwood One, I had a month hiatus of being off the radio. You don't know what it's like to have been on the radio for like 15 years and then be off the radio. You have no idea what a chance I took. I went dead. I went off the air. And I had I had nowhere to go. There was nothing. This is a story for another time. I'm sorry to get distracted. I had nowhere to go. I just made a decision. I was going to walk away from where I was, no matter what happened. I'd rather not work than be in that situation. Period. End of story. And the minute I won that arbitration, I left the radio business. I walked out. I had no deal with anybody. I had no agent, nothing. I just had faith in God. Would you believe that? Now, this is the third or fourth time in my life that I know that I found out God exists. I made prayers. I asked for his guidance, and it's as though the Red Sea parted for me. Okay, but that's another story for another time and another book. I know God exists. It's that simple. I'm not asking you to believe me. In your life, it doesn't matter to me whether you believe or not. I'm not selling you anything. See, I'm not going to sell you a Bible. I'm not asking you to put a tithing into the thing going around the church. I just know God exists. And I know it in so many different ways in my life. And one day I'm going to do a whole program on this, but it has to wait for the election. But during that hiatus of no radio, I remember knowing if I got the deal and I'd be back on in radio, but I'd have to start all over again at a new time slot at late at night. I was willing to do it. I would have done anything. This is the way it is. I don't have a kind of ego that will stand in the way of certain things. I do and I don't, because I know when to put it down. The trick with your ego is to know when to put it aside. We all need a powerful ego to get through this world, don't we? But there's a time to put it down. So, all right, he says, here's the thing. You have to do a night show for a while, and then you're going to have day part. You're going to have drive time on the biggest stations in the country. Just the way it is. We can't juggle it till then. So for a year, I did a night show. Well, sort of a night show. It was like 6 o'clock my time, 9 o'clock on the East Coast. I loved it. But I used to play this song from Journey. And I loved San Francisco because I knew I was getting KSFO back. That was the whole point. I had been on KSFO radio in San Francisco when I started. Then I lost it. Then I had another station, this station. You know, that's what radio is. You move around. Everyone knows that on radio. And you're willing to do it. You're not like rigid. That's what you do. So the point is that I remembered when I was going to come back to my hometown of San Francisco, I found Journey and I started playing this song to myself. Would you believe that? Just a side note, a little off the Trump thing just for a while. So now this thing about Aleppo is a big story where Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate, doesn't know what Aleppo is. Could you play that again for those who missed it before I got distracted with reality?
What would you do if you were elected about Aleppo?
About
Aleppo.
And what is Aleppo?
Oh,
you're kidding.
God.
No. Aleppo is in Syria.
Oh,
it's the it's the epicenter of the refugee crisis.
Ben Gay, the nick in my neck is out of control. This is what's running for office now. What is Aleppo? You hear? This is a third-party candidate that some people are cheering on. Let's see, sir. Mr. Johnson, what is Aleppo? Aleppo? Oh, it's a type of fat reduction surgery. No, not liposuction. It's lepo. Oh, yeah, liposuction. No, Mr. Johnson, it's not a type of surgery. Oh, what is Aleppo? Aleppo. Oh, Aleppo, it's a slur on lepers, right? No, sir, it's not a slur on lepers. No. Okay, so there's the third-party candidate. Just went gone with the wind. Gone. That's a good one. You talk about being unprepared for prime time. God, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. That's almost worse than emails. I mean, you know, at least you can lie about an email scandal that she's been done for a year now because we don't have Matt Lauer, you know, wherever he is. What did I want to say? Oh, yeah, the thing about Trump rallies. It's a little self-serving, but it's true. I want you to hold up, beginning next week, copies of Scorched Earth at all Trump rallies. Bring it like a little billboard. Hold it up. Next time you go to a Trump rally anywhere in America, I want you to hold it up in the air and give it, you know, you're at a Trump rally, right? You're holding up Scorched Earth like a little billboard till Donald Trump finally says, right, Scorched Earth, Obama's given us a Scorched Earth policy. Right? He's going to acknowledge this book before this campaign is over, as sure as I'm standing here. Okay? You're going to make him do it. And you're going to carry this little book around to work. You're going to I don't know about carrying it on public conveyances. That might be a little difficult. I wouldn't recommend that. That's not good in the nation that we live in today. Scorched Earth, restoring the country after Obama, because you know we don't have freedom of expression anymore because of the climate that we live in, let's put it to you that way. But you could take it to work and get fired if you want. After all, there's freedom of the press, except at work, with a little dictatorship. Gary Johnson just quit his post, because of Aleppo. Gary Johnson, I've stopped using marijuana during White House bid. Oh, he quit it. Come on, you said he quit pot. I thought he said he quit the post. Gary Johnson, I've stopped using marijuana during White House bid. So that explains why he has no memory. Libertarian president candidate Gary Johnson revealed he's abstaining from marijuana while he runs for the White House. Well, he should have done it before the interview. During an interview with USA Gone Away, Johnson was asked how long it's been since he's taken the drug. Oh, it's been about 7 weeks, he said, adding that he would not partake in the drug during his term if he's elected. But let me explain something to you. I'm not going to take the callers on it, but look, marijuana has active principles, one of which is tetrahydrocannabinol. I don't care if you smoke it or drip it, it doesn't matter. You're taking in THC. THC deposits in your lipid cells. It is a fat-soluble drug, which means it does not leave your system for a long time. Alcohol, which I'm not selling to you nor recommending, is a water-soluble drug. It leaves your body rather rapidly. You urinate out the byproducts and metabolites rapidly. Marijuana sticks around in your blood and your fat cells a very long time, in particular. And that's why he couldn't remember what Aleppo was. I'm trying to show you how dangerous this drug is. It's an entry-level drug. It will destroy your life. You don't know it now. It's not healthful. It's not wholesome. It's not like an oatmeal cookie from grandma. It's the worst toxic poison you could ever put in your body. Now you're going to get, oh, what do you want me to do, drink booze? I didn't say that. So it just shows you. So the man couldn't even remember Aleppo. He said, I haven't had a drink of alcohol in 29 years because of rock climbing. Well, maybe you ought to take a drink. Maybe he'd remember what Aleppo was. So one thing about drinking is that, see, you can titrate alcohol. That's the thing about drinking. Most drinkers I know understand that, and we're not alcoholics. They know how much they can take till they get sick. If they take one or two, whatever they're tolerant, that's the end of it. They can titrate it and feel it. Dope, it's very hard to titrate. You don't know what you're taking. Stop using marijuana. Okay, that no calls, please, on dope. Honestly, can't take it. Or else I'll have to call up Friedrich Nietzsche and ask him to fill in tomorrow. And I don't think he's available. Let's see now. WABC, I haven't taken any callers, really. Brad on WABC, pardon me for my loquaciousness. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, you were just talking about Trump acknowledging, you know, your book. I think last night when I was watching the forum or whatever it's called, I'm listening to him say, take the oil, take the oil. It just reminded me so much of something you've said for many years. And I think he was a real avid listener of yours. And even when he said, like, I'm deeply interested in these things for many, many years in terms of politics. And I think he got a lot of his political training from you. And I also wanted to give you credit on one other really quick thing.
Well, let me say, I know it's true. He used to listen to me in his car, wherever he was, mainly in New York. Before he ran, he was building up his knowledge. And also he was listening to what, let us say, the true conservative audience out there thinks and feels by listening to the Savage Nation. He knew this was the gut truth. You know, it's funny, the first time he was on my show, Trump, he said to me, you know, Michael, he said, you're the kind of guy who says what's on his mind. I'll never forget that he said to me right off the bat. He said, I know your type of guy. He said, you're the type of guy who speaks his mind. You say what's ever on your mind. He said that to me. I like that. It was sort of a compliment, but not really 100%. But go on, please.
Michael, so getting back to that, like, you 10, 15 years ago, and I've listened to thousands of hours of you over the years, but one of the things that always stuck out was when you said, like, 10, 12 years ago, you're like, one day a nationalist candidate, a pro-America candidate is going to rise. He's like, I have no idea who it is. And at the time, I was always like, maybe it's going to be Michael himself. Who knows? But it ended up being Trump, and you predicted this so long ago, but I feel like it may have been your influence of him listening to you that made him say, you know what, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to be this guy. And
well, yeah, well, we all wanted it. We all kind of wish fulfillment fantasized that a nationalist candidate would appear. He is it. I realize that many people don't like him, but that's nothing I can do about that. Look, here's the thing. We have to keep his feet to the fire if he should get elected, because you know that he has a tendency to drift back to the left, right? I mean, let's be clear about it. This is not a maybe. He was a liberal many years ago. That's what you were if you were rich in New York, right? More or less, I would say on the side, I would almost say a fiscal conservative, but really a social liberal on the order of Michael Bloomberg. I would say that that's who Donald Trump was before he ran for office. Would you agree with that?
But I think, Mike, I think he was always deeply patriotic. And I think, ironically, he's going to be the person that's going to smash liberalism. If he wins, I think this is like the death nail for liberalism in a lot of ways. Yes, might he not be a big anti-abortion guy or whatever? Probably not. But on the key things, the culture things, I think that...
Yeah, on borders, language, and culture, Donald Trump is 100% good for us. That's why I backed him from the get-go. I didn't need every little detail of a social contract, because I'm not expecting that from any candidate. I mean, you got to be a fool to think you're going to get 100% out of any candidate. So I'll go for 50, 60% rather than zero.
I think you're going
to
get...
The main thing to me in my life... Let me explain. I said this to someone the other day. The main thing in my life, personally, is security. National security is the number one issue for me. Because without national security, all the money in the world is worth nothing. If we're going to have another psycho in the White House who brings in millions of Muslims, millions, there's no security possible in this nation. We need it going the other way. We need the arrow going out, not the arrow going in. And I'm going to do something. If he wins, and if they even remember me after he wins, that's another big question mark, whether I'll actually get to use that umbrella at the inauguration. Because remember when he's on the show 2 weeks ago, I said, well, I got my new umbrella waiting for the inauguration. He said, keep it ready. I said, I hope you remember me. I doubt it. I think that with the new team, he'll never be back on the show again. I think that they're more remote from this show than the last guy was. Would you believe this? It's unbelievable to me. But okay, I don't care. I'm still going to support him and vote for him. If I should go to the inauguration, it's going to be very, very interesting, because I will ask him. I'll say, Donald, do you understand what we're going to do now? My listeners and I are going to make sure that you have your feet held to the fire. We've listed all the stuff that Obama has done that we feared Hillary would do in Scorched Earth in my other books. and we really want you to stay on course. And here's the architectural plan going forward. That's all. Simple. I don't think it's that complicated. Okay, I'm sending you scorched earth. Thanks for the call. I got so much more to do. I don't know where the show is going. Every day I wake up and I say, I don't know. Let's see. What am I going to do today? What am I going to talk about today? What's in the news? And I don't know how it happens, but there's much more than I can handle. This is an exciting time to be in talk radio. You know, really amazing. Astounding, really. Now, where are we here? Anthony, on WABC, we have about a minute for you. Please express yourself. Go ahead, please. Anthony, are you there? Line three.
Yeah, I'm here. Listen, I wanted to go back to what that clip that you played with Obama, that you said, you know, oh, he hates white people so much. I don't feel that, man. I think that you hate this guy so much that you know, you turn and twist his words. You know?
Well, let me answer you. I do hate this guy so much. I think he's an enemy. I think he's a criminal. I think he should never have been elected. And I think that if the American people ever knew half of what he was, they never would have voted for him. That's number one. And the damage he's done to America is almost irrevocable. That is true. That's why I hate him. But how can you deny that when he's celebrating in Laos that this will no longer be a majority white country in a foreign country, that he's not putting down white people? How can you say that?
No, I didn't say he's not putting down white people. I said that he said that there was oppression. Oppression in the country. Brother, there has been oppression in this country.
Wait a minute, you mean there's oppression in America that's so bad that he was elected? How does that figure? If the country's so oppressive, wait a minute, hold it, I don't follow you. If the country's so evil to black people, how do we elect a black president? How do we elect a black, how did a black attorney general run this attorney general's office? How's there a black head of a Department of Homeland Security? How is it if it's such a racist, oppressive country?
Dude, I said it was.
It was. A lot of things were. In ancient Egypt, my ancestors were slaves. I don't hate Egyptians. All right, have a nice one. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Well, I mean, as the second hour comes to an end, I can't believe I have no time left here except an hour to go. We talked about what are the 10 worst things Obama has done, the 10 worst things you fear Hillary will do. We talked about why people in the media think that you're dumb because they don't listen to talk radio and they jumble you in with TV watchers. See, here's the important thing. Let's say you're even a liberal who hates my politics. It doesn't matter. You're not one of the dumb ones. You're tuning in radio because you think for yourself. Most people who watch TV news, they don't think. They're passive. I try to explain the difference between passive viewing and active listening. It's two different things, and the media doesn't seem to want to acknowledge your existence or my existence, but you're there. You don't have to agree with me to be a thinker, nor do you have to be, let us say, highly educated to be a thinker. In fact, many highly educated people can't think. They're very narrow-minded. Sometimes a lack of formal education permits you to think freely, incidentally. You know a topic I was going to do that I didn't get to? Do you work for the minimum wage? Can you please explain your struggles? Could you live on less if the wages were cut? People don't understand that. And then I was going to ask you, did you make one mistake and go to prison for it? What was it? Remember I said, everyone listening to the show, pay attention. Prisoners are just you, only they're behind bars. You're only one mistake away from prison. Most of us don't know that. You're not Hillary Clinton.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Crazy. The news stories, I turned on to this one now. A former 49er attacked a 70-year-old man at Fisherman's Wharf Hotel. Madman. Former 49ers Bruce Miller charged with 7 felonies in SF attack. Came out minutes ago. I can't believe what's going on in the drugs. San Francisco 49ers fullback Bruce Miller has been arrested for assaulting a 70-year-old man, reports KTVU, Fox's local affiliate in San Francisco. Can you believe what's going on in this country between Kaepernick? And what's with the 49ers? What are they drinking over there in the dugout? What are they putting in their Kool-Aid? attacked him with a cane? 29-year-old football player at a Marriott hotel on Fisherman's Wharf? What a crazy story. You know how this happened? Police are called to the hotel and report of an intoxicated person. Apparently, the football player tried to get into a hotel room that was not his. Made a mistake, okay? So the room was occupied by a 70-year-old man and a 69-year-old wife who did not know the football player. Now, the couple's son, who was staying in a room next door, comes out to tell the football player, Miller, that he was in the wrong room. At that point, Miller charges him, starts a physical fight with him. So the father, the 70-year-old, comes to the aid of his son, and then Miller punches the old man and beat him with the cane. Can you believe this? The father and son are taken to a hospital to be treated while police track down Miller to a different hotel across the street. That afternoon, the San Francisco 49ers announced Miller was dropped from the team. Well, if it was Kaepernick who had done it, he'd probably be given an invitation to the White House. They'd say there was something to do with privilege of some kind, and since these people liked the national anthem, he had a right to attack them with the cane. Early in the evening before the attack, Miller was booted from legendary San Francisco restaurant Tommy's Joint. If he got a dispute with a patron over a sandwich, I can't imagine what that was about. This guy is a real piece of work, huh? Gone to San Francisco with a flower in my hair. The cesspool in my lair. Between, okay, don't get me started. I love this city. I love it. The corruption is something that's palpable. You can feel it in the air. It's beautiful.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-728. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. It's all in. It's all in. Scorched earth. It's number one in politics on Amazon. If you want to get that amazing, a lot of people are jumping on that free offer. You get the 2011 interview with me and Trump where you see, and why do I want you to have that? Because everyone's saying Trump's not specific. He just bumbles. He doesn't say anything. In his 2011 interview, you'll see how specific Donald Trump is on the issues, despite the media lies. I had him on the show. Even then, he was specific. You can have it for free by pre-ordering Scorched Earth at Amazon.com or your favorite store. You email the receipt, scorchedearthbook@gmail.com. You get the bonus MP3 free of charge. Now, having said that, here's something free of charge for free. With ordering nothing except listening to this great show. It's funny that my introduction was about the difference between TV and radio. Listeners, what do you think about what I'm about to say to you? Here it is. When I watch movies and TV shows from the 1950s, I see an America that was bold, daring, macho, unafraid, and proud of itself. When I look at America today, I see something else. This is because a small band of radical, fanatical leftists have seized every aspect of the media and every avenue of government imaginable. They're ashamed of the very idea of American exceptionalism. They are not the majority, and they don't speak for the people. They are a group of political deviants. They are political deviants in a statistical sense, a political sense, and a social sense. This small band of deviants in government and in the media has wrecked the United States of America, turned us into a nation of near slaves. These craven apologists have turned the grandchildren of the greatest generation into jellyfish, less brave than the average Frenchman. Oh, it's easy to blame the 1960s, flower power, and the radicals that spawned them, nihilistic forces such as the Black Panthers and the Weather Underground. It takes a village of people to destroy a child, and they need to be called out by name. Yet Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are just symptoms of a much bigger disease. What we're living through right now is part of the disease the Cultural Revolution started around the time Barry Soetero was born. This Cultural Revolution was begun by Allen Ginsberg, Timothy Leary, and Bella Abzug. That was a group that you could never find in hell itself to do more damage to a nation. At least Benedict Arnold was a war hero before he turned traitor. Those people were born agitators. They were all born silk-smooth salespeople of destruction. One pushed rampant sex with animals. Another one pushed rampant drug use, mainly LSD. The other one, God knows what she pushed, a demented mashup of feminism and socialism. There was also a lawyer named William Kunstler. He leapt to the defense of anyone who burned, spit on, or defaced something clean and good. I'll stop right there. Pages 57 and 58 of the book, You're Never Going to Put Down Scorched Earth. It reads like a novel. Why do you have to have it? You don't have to have it, but you will have it, because you need a record of what is going on and what will happen and will what continue to be going on unless it is stopped. Now listen to the rest of this paragraph. Not if Hillary becomes president, but even if Donald Trump becomes president. Ah, there's the rub. See, many of you are leery of Donald Trump. You say he's a liberal, he's not of this, he's not of that. He was for the war before, he was against the war, he's for taxes, and against the taxes, he's for immigrants, he's against it. And so you have a correct view of this man's background. There's no question about it. And when he became a politician, he rode the wave of populism, rode the wave of the conservative values I expressed on the show for 22 years, namely borders, language, and culture. That's a good thing. People can change. People do change. You understand that? I told you that. Not everyone is born what they are as an adult, and not every adult stays with what they were 2-3 years ago. They change if they see which way the wind is blowing and they're ambitious on one hand, or if they actually care about the country on the other hand. So it's our job now to make sure that the national dialogue stays focused on borders, language, and culture, and the national debt, of course. And it will be our job, even if Donald Trump should pull off this upset victory. Because that's when our work is going to begin. Do you understand what I'm saying to you now? Unless, listen, let's say Trump wins, and all of a sudden the flags go up, and we all celebrate, and we set off fireworks, and I hold a huge rally somewhere. Well, my friends, that's when the work's going to begin. Because that's when we're going to have to talk to all the Kellyannes and Steves. And all the others who have lined up behind Donald Trump late in the game. And we're going to have to say, listen, guys, congratulations, but we were here first. And we're going to be as difficult with you as we would have been with Hillary. We're not going to let you go to the left. We're not going to let you say, well, now that we've won, we can do whatever we want. You're not going to get away with it. Because we will be the thorn in your side that we were to Hillary's side. That is why I wrote Scorched Earth. Do people in the media and talk radio think you're dumb? Yes, they do. If you will notice, articles came out after the interview last night, the military interview with Trump and whatever her name is, I forget it, the coffer. We can call her the Smith Brothers candidate. And the fact of the matter is, they said that you people, you dumb people, you little small dumb people who don't live in New York City or West Hollywood, don't say Hollywood, West Hollywood specifically. Those of you who know what I'm referring to know exactly what I'm referring to. I mean, if you're south of Santa Monica Boulevard, you don't exist. It's the same thing as being living west of the Hudson River. There used to be an old New Yorker cartoon that was very famous of New York, and then there was west of the Hudson, it was flyover country. Well, for those people who live in Hollywood, anyone on the other side of Santa Monica Boulevard doesn't exist. That is, unless you get down to the ocean area, then of course it's a whole different strata. Well, let's put aside the neighborhoods and the zip codes for a minute. The issue is that we had people criticizing Lauer because he didn't criticize Trump enough. And they said that you dumb idiots out there get all of your information from guys like Lauer. You get your snippets of news only from the Lauers and the liars and the lice of the world. Now, that may be true for TV watchers, and that's what I wanted to talk about a little bit, which is the difference between TV viewers and radio listeners. They're not the same. I think that's lost on geniuses at New York Magazine. I think that's lost on most geniuses in the pseudo-literary establishment, that not all media is identical. People who watch TV for the news are not the same as those who tune into talk radio to hear ideas and maybe call a show or listen to others talking about those ideas. They're not the same as those who read the popular websites for their news headlines every day, which is about most intelligent people in the world, from the highest income level to the lowest income level. And I have to go back to that because I coined a phrase the other day, and some of you got it and some of you are challenging me on it, which is great. That's the object of ideas. Remember what I said the other day? I want to get it exactly right. It was about poverty and affluence. I said poverty is not a vice, and affluence is not a virtue. It set off a shockwave. Now everyone in the media is trying to make believe that they're on the side of the people who are not doing well, because I said that, which is good to be the leader of a dog pack, because as a famous lawyer in San Francisco once wrote, I remember walking past Melvin Belli's office when I first moved to San Francisco. You see, he was a big, big, big-time lawyer. Man, was he on the top of the heap. And Belli had an office down around a certain area of the city where you could walk by his office and look in, and he was sitting in his big chair. He had his Rolls Royce outside. And he had a huge sign in his office that said, when you are the lead dog in the dog pack, all the other dogs look at your behind. But the poster said it in a more flowery manner than I just said it. So what I'm saying is, poverty is not a vice and affluence is not a virtue. And what do I mean by that? I mean that not everyone who has no money is stupid, and not everyone who has a lot of money is smart. But I also said that virtually everyone of intelligence looks at 4 or 5 websites every day for the news. They don't really watch TV for the news. So Matt Lauer and the others who are referred to as the source of the snippets that give us the reality are not the reality that you have, those of you who listen to the Savage Nation and other talk shows. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about the difference between passive viewing versus active listening. Are radio listeners as dumb as most people think? You see, New York Magazine's Jonathan Chait wrote an article about the More Snotty Nonsense by Chicks town hall with Hillary and Donald Trump last night, and he reached a conclusion about you. He says, quote, the average undecided voter is getting snippets of news from television personalities like Lauer, who are failing to convey the fact that the election pits a normal politician with normal political failings against an ignorant, bigoted, pathologically dishonest authoritarian. Wow. Does this man have a shrink or what? I would love to sit into one day, if I could, I'd like to sit in Jonathan Chait's psychiatrist's office and listen to Jonathan Chait express his fears and doubts about himself, which I'm sure he does on a regular basis to a psychiatrist somewhere. For him to project such a statement upon Hillary Clinton and upon Donald Trump says more about Jonathan Chait and the New York literary establishment, if you want to call him that. The people who make very little money are jealous of those who have nicer shoes, nicer wives, better cars, bigger buildings, etc. And he goes on, he says, look, the fact is he's biased. But he does make somewhat of an interesting observation that you'll only see a small bit of what's going on on TV news, and you base your decisions on that. In other words, if you're just a TV watcher, you're too stupid to figure things out on your own, and you have to rely on whatever is fed to you on TV by Matt Lauer and the others. Now, if you think the television viewers are ignoramuses, by and large, I mean, when I say television, I mean those who tune into TV for news. I watch a lot of TV. I never watch television news. The only television news I ever watch, I have to tell you, this is the MS, I'll put my hand back on the Bible. I no longer watch the network news. I haven't for 15 years or more. I used to watch Fox News. I swear to God, I don't tune it in anymore. It's not a boycott. I just don't watch them. Some of them are brilliant and great. I don't watch them. I don't watch MSNBC. They're not even worth a laugh line anymore. They become so predictable, there's no point in watching. My Rachel Maddow coming to say 100 times? What's the point of saying it? I watch them. What's the point? I watch RT, which is Russian news, once in a while because they have a variety of talk shows. Some of which are very, very pro-Russian. Some are very anti-Russian, by the way. But the intellectual dialogue on RT is pretty amazing. I occasionally watch NHK News out of Japan. And that's about it. I don't even listen to the BBC. It's ridiculous. I may as well go to a seminar at Berkeley on political science if I wanted to listen to the BBC. It's the same exact idiocy. You know, Islam's not related to terrorism. All immigrants come to... Well, you get the picture. I don't need to do it. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
That shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Welcome to The Savage Nation. I think as we enter the most critical phase of this election, and the tipping point regarding the survival of this great nation, and I think you have followed the show long enough to know exactly which side I'm on, and exactly which side I'm not on. You understand what I'm doing right now. I am going to the Rock of Ages. And maybe each day I will begin with a little quote from the Rock of Ages, a one-liner without even telling you where it comes from. And then we'll do the show, because whether it's connected or not directly to the show is irrelevant. The show will be gone and forgotten, but the Rock of Ages will be with us. Now, what is the Rock of Ages? Does anyone even remember what that means? And why was it called the Rock of Ages? And why do so many non-sophisticated, dumb people still believe in the Rock of Ages? The non-fashionable people. Those who are not in Hollywood. Those who don't go to the red carpet. How could they still believe in the Rock of Ages? What do they find in it? Why am I talking about it? Well, let me ask you something. What are the 10 worst things that Obama has done? I have a list of them for you, by the way. And what are the 10 worst things that you fear Hillary will do? See, I boiled it all down for you in plain English. I don't like him. I don't like it. Isn't that? What are the 10 worst things Obama has done? I'll give them to you as the show emerges. Yes, I'll read from Scorched Earth, as you could expect. It is my book, and as you know, when we in talk radio do our books, we talk about them for a couple of weeks, and then we forget about them. Once in a while, we refer to them. That's the way it is. Well, right now, I'm in a fever pitch of referring to Scorched Earth, and yes, I do want you to keep it number one in politics on Amazon. Yeah, that's where it is. It's number one in politics on Amazon, even though I've not been invited on any television show. I've not been on Matt Lauer's show, and without Matt Lauer, without any of the other good people in the media, it's the audience that matters. And I talk about the 10 worst things Obama has done and the 10 worst things Hillary will do. And while we're talking about that, here are some other topics that I'm going to talk about. Do people in the media and talk radio think you're dumb? Yes, they do. If you will notice, articles came out after the interview last night, the military interview with Trump and whatever her name is, I forget it, the coffer. We can call her the Smith Brothers candidate. And the fact of the matter is, they said, you people, you dumb people, you little small dumb people who don't live in New York City or West Hollywood specifically. Those of you who know what I'm referring to know exactly what I'm referring to. I mean, if you're south of Santa Monica Boulevard, you don't exist. It's the same thing as being living west of the Hudson River. There used to be an old New Yorker cartoon that was very famous of New York, and then there was west of the Hudson, it was flyover country. Well, for those people who live in Hollywood, anyone on the other side of Santa Monica Boulevard doesn't exist. That is, unless you get down to the ocean area, then, of course, it's a whole different strata. Well, let's put aside the neighborhoods and the zip codes for a minute. The issue is that we had people criticizing Lauer because he didn't criticize Trump enough. And they said that you dumb idiots out there get all of your information from guys like Lauer. You get your snippets of news only from the Lauers and the liars and the lice of the world. Now, that may be true for TV watchers, and that's what I wanted to talk about a little bit, which is the difference between TV viewers and radio listeners. They're not the same. I think that's lost on geniuses at New York Magazine. I think that's lost on most geniuses in the pseudo-literary establishment, that not all media is identical. People who watch TV for the news are not the same as those who tune into talk radio to hear ideas and maybe call a show or listen to others talking about those ideas. They're not the same as those who read the popular websites for their news headlines every day, which is about most intelligent people in the world, from the highest income level to the lowest income level. And I have to go back to that because I coined a phrase the other day, and some of you got it, and some of you are challenging me on it, which is great. That's the object of ideas. Remember what I said the other day? I want to get it exactly right. It was about poverty and affluence. I said poverty is not a vice, and affluence is not a virtue. It set off a shockwave. Now everyone in the media is trying to make believe that they're on the side of the people who are not doing well because I said that, which is good to be the leader of a dog pack, because as a famous lawyer in San Francisco once wrote, I remember walking past Melvin Belli's office when I first moved to San Francisco. You see, he was a big, big, big-time lawyer. Man, was he on the top of the heap. And Belli had an office down around a certain area of the city where you could walk by his office and look in, and he was sitting in his big chair. He had his Rolls Royce outside. And he had a huge sign in his office that said, when you are the lead dog in the dog pack, all the other dogs look at your behind. But the poster said it in a more flowery manner than I just said it. So what I'm saying is, poverty is not a vice and affluence is not a virtue. And what do I mean by that? I mean that not everyone who has no money is stupid, and not everyone who has a lot of money is smart. But I also said that virtually everyone of intelligence looks at 4 or 5 websites every day for the news. They don't really watch TV for the news. So Matt Lauer and the others who are referred to as the source of the snippets that give us the reality are not the reality that you have, those of you who listen to the Savage Nation and other talk shows. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about the difference between passive viewing versus active listening. Are radio listeners as dumb as most people think? You see, New York Magazine's Jonathan Chait wrote an article about the More Snotty Nonsense by Chicks town hall with Hillary and Donald Trump last night, and he reached a conclusion about you. He says, quote, the average undecided voter is getting snippets of news from television personalities like Lauer, who are failing to convey the fact that the election pits a normal politician with normal political failings against an ignorant, bigoted, pathologically dishonest authoritarian. Wow. Does this man have a shrink or what? I would love to sit into one day, if I could, I'd like to sit into Jonathan Chait's psychiatrist's office and listen to Jonathan Chait express his fears and doubts about himself, which I'm sure he does on a regular basis to a psychiatrist somewhere. For him to project such a statement upon Hillary Clinton and upon Donald Trump says more about Jonathan Chait and the New York literary establishment, if you want to call them that. The people who make very little money are jealous of those who have nicer shoes, nicer wives, better cars, bigger buildings, etc. And he goes on, he says, well, look, the fact is he's biased. But he does make somewhat of an interesting observation that you'll only see a small bit of what's going on TV news, and you base your decisions on that. In other words, if you're just a TV watcher, you're too stupid to figure things out on your own, and you have to rely on whatever is fed to you on TV by Matt Lauer and the others. And so increasingly people of all ages are turning to online digital sources of media, radio, for news. And I got to remind you right here and then, I don't care what you hear, I don't care what you say, data doesn't lie. My show is the number one streaming radio talk show in America. That means what I just said. According to TalkStream Live, this show has a 25% share of all of those who listen to talk radio on a device. The great Rush Limbaugh has a 13.7% share, according to that data. That may not be the only data source for this, but it's the one I have. If you got a better one, let me know what it is. I'm willing to listen. So 1 out of 4 people who are listening to talk radio are listening to me around the world. Why is that? Well, they want to get some information, and they also want to hear from the smart callers that I get. And then they want to derive their own opinions based upon it. As I said to you, when I grew up as a little boy in New York, yeah, my father was an immigrant, told you the story a million times, I'll tell it to you another million times till you finally hear it. I am the only talk show host in America with a major show who is an immigrant son. I have one foot in the old world and 1 foot in the new world. It gives me a huge advantage in understanding the world that we live in. America's not the same as it was that any of us grew up in, and it never will be, and it never has been. Can you name one generation for whom America was the same when they were in their 50s that it was when they were born? I don't know. What, 50 years is a very long time. It's a half a century. All countries change. America is no different. We're not objecting to change, are we? We're objecting to the change that has occurred, aren't we? We don't mind change, but we want change in a positive direction. None of us wanted to see this country become more like Portugal than it has become. We don't want to become a failed empire, which it has become. And so, my friends, as I say to you, we have to go back to the primary thought so we don't lose it. What is the primary thought? What are the 10 worst things Obama has done? And what are the 10 worst things you fear Hillary will do? That's what it boils down to. You're different. You have made a choice to actively listen to radio, which provides you with news and strong opinions. You know what you're getting from this host. That's why you're listening. I don't pretend to be a journalist. I don't pretend to be objective. I try to bring my objectivity to my opinions. But I'm not pretending what I'm giving you is an objective statement. Do you understand the difference? That's a subtlety I just expressed to you. And I'm sure most of you can understand that. I'm giving you what I think is an objective view, but I'm not saying it is an objective view for you. That's all. It's two different things. You're not stuck in your own bubble. You have many different points of view that you refer to. Now, psychologists describe active listening as being, quote, all about building rapport, understanding, and trust. And so an active listener is a better listener because you actually hear what the other person is saying, not just what you think they are saying or what you want to hear as a TV viewer would. And that's why talk radio is so important to the national conversation. You are the actively engaged person who has the ability to reach the unengaged, the apathetic, the people who will actually vote for someone like a Hillary Clinton because their interest in what's important is only passive. They don't know what's really going on. They don't know how evil she is. They don't know about the corruption in the foundation. They don't know about the damage she has done to the Middle East or to the world. They don't know the damage that she would continue to do to this nation. But you do. And so, my friends, as I go back to the beginning, I'll say again, that's the lead topic. Now, if you think the television viewers are ignoramuses, by and large, I mean, when I say television, I mean those who tune into TV for news. I watch a lot of TV. I never watch television news. The only television news I ever watch, I have to tell you, this is the MS, I'll put my hand back on the Bible. I no longer watch the network news. I haven't for 15 years or more. I used to watch Fox News. I swear to God, I don't tune it in anymore. It's not a boycott. I just don't watch them. Some of them are brilliant and great. I don't watch them. I don't watch MSNBC. They're not even worth a laugh line anymore. They become so predictable, there's no point in watching them. Rachel Maddow, I'm going to say 100 times. What's the point of saying it? I watch them. What's the point? I watch RT, which is Russian news, once in a while because they have a variety of talk shows, some of which are very, very pro-Russian. Some are very anti-Russian, by the way. But the intellectual dialogue on RT is pretty amazing. I occasionally watch NHK news out of Japan. And that's about it. I don't even listen to the BBC. It's ridiculous. I may as well go to a seminar at Berkeley on political science if I wanted to listen to the BBC. It's the same exact idiocy. You know, Islam's not related to terrorism. All immigrants come to... Well, you get the picture. I don't need to do it. Poverty is not a vice and affluence is not a virtue. Now, many of you didn't understand that one. You thought I was saying that if you had money, was something wrong with you. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying with my statement, poverty is not a vice and affluence is not a virtue, is quite clear. Many of us have equated becoming successful or wealthy with being virtuous. Now, while it takes virtue to become wealthy and successful, there's no question about it. I mean, some do it as crooks, but they're the minority, I think. There is no question in my mind that there are an awful lot of impoverished people who are pretty damn smart and good people. And I don't want you lumping in poor people with the rioters, the communists, and the others. They're not representative of those people who are living on the edge. Do you understand the difference? Now, we're going to talk about that and Gary Johnson, who doesn't know what Aleppo is. Who is Gary Johnson? He is the third-party candidate put up by Hillary Clinton to steal votes from Trump. That's exactly why he's run. He is not a libertarian. He is a part and parcel of the Democrat machine.
Oftentimes, they are poor African-American or Latino who are still held back historically by discrimination. And sometimes it's
like
harder to get the society as a whole to invest in these kids. If we're going to be successful, we're going to have to do it. The United States, by the year 2050, which is only 35 years from now, will no longer be a majority white country.
And he's celebrating that. Now, you don't see that as a racist statement? For the president of the United States, who is supposed to represent the entire nation, to be repeating a statement which, even though it may be factual, is offensive, to celebrate the diminution of a population and a nation, that to me is a racist statement. Now, on the opposite side of the poll, we have the surging Donald Trump, who represents the exact opposite, by the way, and Hillary represents a continuation of Obama's policies. Let's put it to you that way. For example, last night, Trump gave a pretty good performance, and he's been attacked for giving a great performance, for not being attacked enough by Matt Lauer. And he talked about Donald Trump. Listen to clip 19 on the Savage Nation, please.
When he calls me brilliant, I'll take the compliment, okay? The fact is, look, it's not going to get him anywhere. I'm a negotiator. We're going to take back our country. You look at what's happening to our country. You look at the depleted military. You look at the fact that we've lost our jobs. We're losing our jobs like we're a bunch of babies. We're going to take back our country, man. The fact that he calls me brilliant or whatever he calls me is going to have zero impact.
Period. End of story. Now, number 20 is really what it's all about, but this is something you don't want to know about. Listen to this one.
If he says great things about me, I'm going to say great things about him. I've already said he is really very much of a leader. I mean, you can say, oh, isn't that a terrible thing he called him? I mean, the man has very strong control over a country. Now, it's a very different system, and I don't happen to like the system. But certainly in that system, he's been a leader far more than our president has been a leader. We have a divided country. We have a country where you have Hillary Clinton with her emails that nobody's ever seen, where she deletes 33,000 emails, and that's after getting a subpoena from Congress. If you do that in private business, you get thrown in jail.
That's all. Now you know why he's surging. Now, here's some good news for those of you who worship Barry. And it's from the Associated Press. I'm reading it cold. Don't accuse me of anything. Barack Obama is officially now a parasite. Caught my attention. Barack Obama has a new honor to brag about. Scientists have named a parasite after him. That's right. The worm, it's a tiny parasitic flatworm that lives in turtles' blood, and it is called Barackrema obamii. A new study officially names the 2-inch-long, hair-thin creature after Obama, Barackrema obamii. The years I was in botany, I was into binomials, I used to wonder how I would take people's names and turn them into a species name. It's a very interesting system of nomenclature that they use. Like if you have a name that ends in a vowel, you have to add a certain letter. You know what I'm saying? Like Robert Borowski is my producer. So if we were to name a new organism after him, it would be, let us say, Robert Borowski I. You just add an I to an I. Now, in Obama's case, since it ends in an A and you add an I, it's harder to pronounce. It's Obamii. I think it's Obamii. That's how you pronounce it. I don't know. I think it's an apt description to name a parasite after him. I think it should be remembered for that organism. After all, he's been a parasite in the American experience. He raised our debt to $20 trillion. He's committed a race war in the country, turning black against white, white against black. He's turned the police into targets. So, yeah, I would say that that's an apt place to remember him.